Welcome to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God. And we're going through a number of questions and answers that have been presented by a number of people out there in the network of the church. The church has always been a network. It has been based on the original network that was Israel. 10 families get together, they pick a minister, and that minister gets together with 9 other ministers like himself, and he picks a minister, and this networks them all together so that they can provide the daily ministration through a system of charity in hope that their brothers in Christ will be there for them. This was the church before Constantine, before any popes came about, before the Protestant Reformation, before any of that. This was the way the church operated. And we see it all throughout Europe and North Africa and Asia Minor. In the 1st century, 2nd century, all the way up, 10th century, and remnants of it were seen even into the 1500s. But that idea of the church was stamped out and replaced by denominationalism, where somebody comes down and interprets the Bible and we follow that individual, that charismatic character. We should be following Christ. Christ is the King of the church. He is the supreme head of the church. And it is up to us to strive and to seek to know Christ, to know His will. That's what forms the church. That's who appointed the church. Jesus Christ appointed it. His appointment is what incorporated the church to Him to become His body, His corpus. So to be the corpus of Christ, the body of Christ, the church established by Christ, we don't conform to other men. We conform to Christ. And one of the questions that comes up pretty regularly, was Jesus Christ a real king? Well, the mere fact that you say Christ tells us that He was a king, because the word Christ is the Greek word for anointed, just the same as Messiah or Mashiach is the same Hebrew word for anointed. David was called the Messiah, the Mashiach, the anointed. And he was anointed of God to serve the people. Not to exercise authority one over the other, although that's what the people were calling for. But when they called for that, they were rejecting God. God knew that they would eventually do this because He knew they weren't really letting God write His laws upon our hearts and upon our minds. That's why He had to write them on the Ten Commandments, on stone, because stone was easier to write on than the hearts of the Israelites. Now, there's some of the Israelites, they were hearing God and they were, His Spirit was moving on them and they were beginning to walk with God, but many of them were not, and they had to be this nation. So He wrote it down and He said, you know, keep those commandments. And Christ said, keep My commandments. If you love Me, keep My commandments. If we go back to Isaiah 9:6, we see, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal, where does that rest? It rests in the hearts of every man who follows after the Father and after Jesus Christ and come in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a government of service to take care of the needy of society and to provide protection, etc., through the people tending to the weightier matters. of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, in a network of love and charity and hope. This word government that we see in Isaiah is Mishra, which is Mim, Shem, Resh, Hey. Normally, Hebrew words are three letters long. It's from the word Sarah, meaning power, noble. When we are sons of God, when we are the children of God, born as a wonderful counselor, a mighty follower of God, because we let His Holy Spirit into our hearts, we become the government of God, and we govern ourselves according to the ways of Christ. Many who say they believe in Christ are not governing themselves according to the teachings of Christ. They say they have faith, but they are not doing the will of the Father. Their faith is not true. And James tells us this, that though we are saved by grace, we must conform to Christ. We must seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness in truth, in spirit, and in truth, not just in our imaginations. In Matthew 2:2, we see saying, "Where is He, born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship Him, the King of the Jews." They knew it in Matthew. These kings knew it. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou the king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am the king." But Pilate answered in Matthew 15:9, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Speaking to the Pharisees. And they didn't want to call him king. But that didn't mean he wasn't king. There were many who were willing to call him king. Thousands were willing to call him king. But the ones in power did not want to call him king, because they had to lay down their power. And we've explained that, how he fired the money changers. Something only the king could do. In Luke 23:3, we see Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou a king?" And he answered and said, "Thou sayest it." But his kingdom was not of the world, but his kingdom was not of Pilate's world. Of Pilate's, he used the word there, constitutional order or system of government. And he was saying to Pilate, who was trying to sit in the judgment seat, "My kingdom's not of this world. This constitutional order and system of government that you have brought here into Judea, you haven't got any jurisdiction, Pilate." And Pilate recognized this and did what they would do, is wash their hands of the case. Pilate wasn't judging this man. Pilate judged him to be king. Wrote on a plaque of ebony wood covered in plaster, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is the King of the Jews." He wrote it in three languages, Greek and Latin and Hebrew, because it was an official document of the king. If you look in the Jewish encyclopedia, you will see prominent teachers of the Essene faction in the time of the King of Herod, about the middle of the first and pre-Christian century. He was renowned for his prophetic powers. He prophesied that Christ would come during Herod's reign, got Herod to agree that he would give a third of his kingdom to the Messiah. Babylonian Talmuds talk about the fact that there was supposedly a false Messiah at that particular time. There were arguments amongst the prophets of that time about who was a righteous prophet and who was not. And we have these footnotes in our question and answer where you can look it up. But the Jerusalem Talmud cites an additional opinion that Menahem agreed to be appointed to the ministration position in order to revoke governmental predestinations against Torah studies. So this is a well-documented individual at that time. And I have people that have come to me and said, "Oh, well, where do you get this stuff about Menahem and this prophecy?" I said, just Google it. Now, I will admit that they spelled Menahem a number of different ways. But the reality is that this is common knowledge for those who look into this in depth. Christ was recognized as the true king of Judea. Thousands upon thousands of Jews accepted Christ, knowing full well that if they got the baptism of Jesus Christ, they would be cast out of the social welfare system and the network of congregations they called the synagogues, which they depended upon for their welfare, because it was a theocratic state, and the welfare was run through the temple and through the synagogues connected to the temple. And to get the baptism of Christ cast you out of those systems already set in place by the Pharisees. But for years before Christ began his ministry, John the Baptist was setting up a similar network that operated by faith, hope, and charity. This is what distinguished Christians, Jewish Christians, from Pharisaical Jews. They operated according to a system of sacrifice, of Corban, that made the word of God to none effect because it was based on force, signing up and force. Their table was a snare. Their system of welfare was a snare, as Paul tells us. Christ was the king of that system, and he appointed ministers to run it. And we call those ministers the church, and they were told to take care of the needy, to feed his sheep, to provide for one another, to faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. And do not be like the governments of the Gentiles who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. This was the kingdom of God. This was the church. And a few hundred years ago, the church was still doing that job to some degree. But they've gotten lost in theologies and vain philosophies and eschatologies, and they no longer do the will of Christ, our King, because they don't come in the name of Christ to serve. They want to join this church or that church because it makes them feel good. Christ came that we would begin to do good and that we might be saved. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at hisholychurch.net.